Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these days, and we thank you that you are revealing to us and giving to us a kingdom consciousness, a righteousness consciousness, and revealing many things concerning your plan for the glorious church and a holy remnant that you're raising up in this earth. So we just give you all praise and honor and glory, Father, and we just ask that this evening that you just reveal more of yourself to us and really create in us an image of the absoluteness of your character. We just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to continue on with exhortations from the Father. I'm actually giving these individual names, but since I don't know where it's going to go, I can't really get the other title until after it's over. But again, these are various proverbs, if you will, that God has shared with me over the years in order to not only prepare me, but to prepare those that I would minister to as far as his heart for the church in this final hour. And, you know, as the days go on, we're really beginning to see a vast and wide separation between those who truly love God and those who don't. And we're beginning to see the scriptures take on new life as far as revealing the absoluteness of God's character. So we're just going to continue on here and just go where the Holy Spirit takes us. Now, this first word is extremely important in the fact that, in the sense that it just sums up everything I just said. You must take the apostolic view in all things, my beloved ones. Now, just to define that, a simple definition is Christ all in all. And that was always God's will. It always will be God's will. So we need to be a people who begin to take an apostolic view. We need to begin to see the fullness of Christ in everything that we are encountering by the Spirit. In all things, you must see the absoluteness of my ways, and as your thoughts and words and actions are conformed to my absolute truth, you shall become a great sign and a wonder to my people. Now, you know, we've talked about signs and wonders and being signs and wonders. As a matter of fact, we're called to be signs and wonders, as we see in Mark 16. But I'll tell you, in this last hour, God is wanting to make us signs and wonders such as this world has never seen before. And unfortunately, many people, they have had many works and so on and so forth in the past, but they did not bear the fruit that God really, or the maximum fruit that God desired. And in this third day, we're going to see great signs and wonders. And they're going to manifest in many different ways, but they literally are going to turn the world upside down. And so as we are conformed to his absolute truth, as we're abiding in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know, then we're going to be in the right place at the right time, doing exactly what God wants us to do. And then we'll just, you know, being a sign and a wonder will just be a spontaneous manifestation of our obedience. People try to be signs and wonders, but really that's rooted in wanting to be seen. We just want to obey God, and if we obey God, we'll be seen. So he says, we'll become a great sign and wonder to my people, and all the traditions and doctrines which have robbed my children of their true inheritance. You know, that's why God gets bent out of shape with false doctrine right there. You know, people say, well, what's the difference if, you know, this person believes this, and can't we agree to disagree? The answer is no. Because, first of all, when anything less than absolute truth is put forth in the church, it robs the people, or it keeps the people out of the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. I've already said many times that God has made it quite clear we are going to need the fullness of our inheritance to fulfill all that God's called us to in this hour. That's a given. That, you know, that's the point we start at. So we want to be a people who are in a good environment, hearing the absolute truths of God, and be a people who are prepared to release absolute truth wherever we go in our lives. So he said that the doctrines which have robbed my children of their true inheritance shall perish in your path. And really what we're talking about here is being a vessel of God's light and truth. And as we go forth, darkness will have to separate away or depart from us. And again, I shared that vision a long time ago. And when I was in a certain place, God showed me as I was walking through the city, you could actually see the darkness, just like the Red Sea. I think of that scene from the Ten Commandments where the Red Sea parted. And that's what it will be like in the glorious church this last hour. God's people will be sent wherever they're sent, wherever he desires to send them. and darkness will unfold there, and many captives will be set free. That doesn't mean all of the darkness in the world is going to depart, but it's going to have to move out of the way until God has finished the job that he desires to do. That exact same thing happened in Jesus' ministry as he walked the earth. And if he wasn't walking the fullness of his covenant, obviously the devil would have been able to take him out, but we know that through his obedience, he was untouchable in that sense. And again, being untouchable, when we're walking the fullness of covenant with God, you know, our heart remains strong and steadfast towards the will of God. And no matter what the devil's trying to do on the outside, our hearts are protected and they're not touched. They're not pulled away from seeking first the kingdom and doing the will of God. No matter how bad it gets, God still is able to keep us on course. He says, but it will take a concerted effort on your part to view all things through my eyes. Thus my command to minister unto me above all else shall surely cause the things which I have just spoken to come to pass. So you see, really, you know, all the teaching we've had over the years and you know, keeping our priorities straight, in other words, ministering unto God first, is the key to all things. You know, and you know, we've said this many times before, but the reason there are so many difficulties in different places in the church is because people have ignored the first and foremost commandment, and it's caused all sorts of a mess, including the false doctrines and things. And people are sincere, but they're sincerely deceived and don't even realize they're deceived, which is a dangerous position to be in this last hour. Very, very important, these things. You can expect every wrong motivation in the hearts of my children to be readily exposed in this last hour. Well, Paul prophesied that. He said each man's work will become evident. And, you know, it's amazing as we, again, in this last hour, we read the scriptures and they're coming alive in a new way, because we're seeing the fullness of God's plan unfolding. And those people whose hearts are wholly given to God are seeing, are able to see, and they have the wisdom to understand what's going on. And, you know, I really don't know the answer to this question, but I was just thinking the other day, how many Christians actually have a revelation of the glorious church, or of the God's will for a spotless and unblemished church? Has that just been tucked away and people just think, oh, that's for some time in the future? Well, the future's now. And so people are either going to be a part of it or they're not going to be a part of it. And they have to make that decision. And they will have every opportunity to do that. Another word concerning the activity of the third day. And these will serve us well as we pay attention to them, because I've seen this happen time and time again. He said, the only ones that will be able to discern that your every move is of me will be those who seek to walk in perfect obedience and whose first priority is to minister unto me. You see, when people don't minister unto God first, then self still remains on the throne to a degree. And consequently, great darkness enters in. And great darkness in this last hour isn't the darkness that we saw in the Middle Ages. This darkness now is the greatest deception of all time. And it's great darkness, and yet it looks very close to the light. So again, we have to be discerning in these things. But every wrong motivation will be exposed in this last hour, either causing people to repent or people to run from God. But they will be exposed. And again, going back to that, the only people that will understand what the people are walking in obedience, the only people who understand it are people who themselves are seeking obedience. It doesn't matter on what level. It doesn't matter whether they were just born again. They'll still have that knowing that what is transpiring is of God. Whereas we know if there's a religious spirit, they weren't even able to recognize what Jesus was doing. They weren't able to recognize him as the Messiah, even though it was their job to prepare his way, actually. But they had gotten into their own activities. Fellowship with the world deadens the spirit, hardening it and desensitizing it to the things of God and to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Many times, you know, when we find ourselves in a place where we're not able to hear God, there are times when God doesn't speak to us in the time maybe we'd like him to. But there are times when we really need an answer and we're having a hard time. And a lot of times it's been because we've been in some sort of fellowship with the world and its ways. In other words, we've come into a dependence upon self, and we've put ourselves in a position where our hearts have become a little hardened before God. And, you know, in the same way, just to put a positive spin on this,
Fellowship with God quickens the spirit and causes it to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And again, you see, these things are all absolute. And people are making a decision which side they're going to stand in this last hour. And it's a glorious time. You know, the things that are even happening now are wonderful, but they're nothing compared to what we're going to see even before the end of this age. Fear is only as real as one believes it to be. You know, each one of us has a believing mechanism. We were created to believe. And at any given moment, we're believing something, whether it's a lie through fear, a lie of the enemy, or whether it's the truth of God through faith and trust in Him. And so in this particular word, when I remember when God gave it to me, because I had a lot of fear issues, and some things just seemed so real, you know, in my own circumstances, but they weren't real. And as I got closer to God, as I gained a revelation of His Word, then I was able to understand that the things that are temporal are just that, but the things that are eternal, the things of God, are the things to believe in. And so whatever we believe in, that's what's going to be real to us. And of course, God has done a great job in leading us from faith to faith. Any dependence upon flesh and blood is an ungodly dependence. You know, one of the great things that God is doing in this hour is that He is awakening His children to the fact that we must be free from any spirit of independence on God, and therefore a dependence on those things which are apart from God. And that's very clear. We need God in this last hour in all things. I have no regard for what my people think, only for what they know. Now, I remember the day He said that to me, because, you know, we get all caught up in thinking, and I'm not talking about the mind of Christ here. I'm talking about the thoughts that proceed from the mind of the flesh. And, you know, and until people's minds are renewed, there's always a tendency to go back and take our thoughts as the ultimate thing. But when people come into right relationship with God, they come into that place of revelation knowledge, and they begin to understand that the thoughts that proceed from God and not from the mind of the flesh. It's a very, very important thing in this hour, because we need to be a people who walk by revelation. And while I can't sit here and say all the things that are going to circumstantially happen to us, we certainly are going to need to have that revelation in our hearts, because when we do, then we will overcome in all things, regardless of the pressures or different things that come upon us. My children may look down upon and despise sin, but woe to those who look down and despise the sinner. Now, I remember the morning He gave that to me. I was just on my way out to the country many years ago, and as I was walking through had to walk through a certain amount of streets to get out to the country, and I saw this family of Jehovah's Witnesses, just a picture-perfect family, you know, all dressed nicely, and a couple little girls, and so on, and the heart of the Father just really touched my heart, you know, and His compassion for the people. And this is when He gave me this word. And, you know, we all know there's a lot of people that are misled in different things. But God has such great compassion for them, and so must we. Because in that the very same morning He spoke to me, and He said, in the last hour, He said, the power of my true church will cause many, many, many thousands of people to come out of these different religions. In this case, He was speaking about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. So, again, we need to walk in love, and we need to not look upon flesh and blood. Yes, we can despise the sin. Yes, we can pray. But we can't despise the sinner in that sense. Otherwise, what hope do they have of getting free? All fear stems from mistrust of God. Pretty basic stuff. I mean, the fact is that I look back over the years, you know, and I see, I think in the beginning we all knew that God existed in that sense, but we didn't have much trust in Him because we'd spent our whole lives just continually leaning upon our own understanding and developing many mindsets and different procedures that didn't call for a trust in God. But as we come to know Him and as we come to see His perfection in all things, you know, He's leading us into that place of an absolute faith, into a total trust. And then that perfect love of God is able to cast out every ground of fear from us. See, all these things I'm talking about, God is preparing us to be a mighty force in this earth. And this isn't the type of mandate that we can just go at half-heartedly. We are going to need to walk in that absolute faith and that perfect love. And it's a wonderful thing. But it's absolute. And so we're going to see many great and wondrous things. But there is a price. And that's just simply a heart wholly given. The funny thing is, in the end, you realize that that's the best way to go anyways. Sometimes it just takes a little while to realize that. The more time one spends in the presence of God, the deeper the revelation they will have of the fact that there is no good in the old nature. Now, I couldn't help but think of Romans 7:18 with Paul when he was talking about that. And you know, we realize that he was a ways along in his walk at that point. He was in Rome and had been ministering to the church for many years. And we know that there really is a lifetime work that God does in bringing us to that place where we realize there is no good in the flesh. And that is a real key point in the life of any Christian who's truly going to walk in the Spirit, to abide in the Spirit. So when we spend the time that we're required to spend in the presence of God, then that revelation becomes deeper. And also the revelation of a need to trust in God with all our heart. All these things kick in. The only reason that my children do not hear the voice of my Spirit, is because they do not want to hear the words that he will speak. Now, in the beginning, I can't think of an example right off the bat, but I knew there were certain things that God would speak to me, and I would get all excited, and I'd be quick to obey and, you know, to move out in obedience. But there was other things, you know, he'd start to touch in those little areas. Oh, I don't really want to do that. You know, it was a heart thing. But of course, God knows. That's why when he calls us to obey in an area, it's always to confront fear within us, if it's there, or within others, if it's in them. But in those early days, I mean, it was I can actually remember, you know, you almost like you block the Spirit of God. It sounds like a silly thing to do, but that's what fear is. Fear causes you to act irrationally and to hold part back. And I just think of that vision God gave me. And one summer, he was dealing with me, this is many years ago now, and he began to speak to me about open heart surgery. And so I, you know, this whole summer I'd been kind of avoiding certain issues that God was trying to deal with me on. And I all of a sudden I'm out in the country and he gave me this vision, and it was like I saw this operating table, like a normal operating table, and I saw myself on it and I saw God moving towards it. But every time he would get close, I would jump up and get off the table. Well, we know in the natural that you're not going to get much done in surgery if the patient keeps jumping up off the table. So he finally got it across to me. And this was after a number of months. I don't even remember what it was about now, but I remember that vision. So finally I realized, you know, okay, I just stay on the table. And you know something? Instantaneously, he removed a fear for me that I'd battled with him for 6 months. So I got an idea that maybe I shouldn't be doing that. But again, that's the irrationality of fear. And it will keep one in a place where they're afraid of God rather than afraid of the lie that's got them in bondage. So we need to be a people who desire to know the will of God for our lives. It doesn't make any difference what that means. And I mean, we really are at a late stage now. I mean, many, many years have gone by, and God has been faithful to refine us and refine us and refine us. But now, you know, we need to approach God with reckless abandon as far as wanting to hear his voice. Because, you know, he will speak exactly what needs to be spoken. And we shouldn't have a fear that God is going to say something to us or give us something to do that is harmful to us. You know, whatever he tells us to do, whatever he gives us, is for our greatest eternal benefit, period. And it does, the flesh may get a little uncomfortable. That's about the only thing that's left as far as fear trying to operate. But when we will obey, then we'll see the fruits of righteousness. And that is extremely important. And the superabundant life that comes from that. Truly I say to you, I seek to show my people that I am sufficient for all the needs of my work. And any congregation that will fully recognize me shall always be prospered and blessed spiritually, financially, influentially, in every way. Well, I can't think of a better example than here. Now, when I got that word, that was a long time ago. I couldn't see a congregation that was such. All I could see in the sphere of existence that God had me in at the time was control, was that second-day hierarchy, where people were just, the whole control spirit through the pastor was working. So he set that in my thinking as a goal to be seen. And it was a lot of years before I saw it. But it's true. And we're going to see that in every true spiritual environment in the earth in this hour. Another word, because they have rejected me, I also have rejected them. For their hearts have grown callous, and they have become dull and lost the power of understanding. Now, in this hour, we know that there's a civil war shaping up. We know that there are those who are truly seeking God and those who have settled for much less than what God has called them to. And we know that when people begin to walk in the flesh and begin to maintain fleshly works as far as the church go, then it's a 24-hour-a-day job for them to defend what they're, or justify what they're doing. And in justifying what they're doing, they're always going to come against the true delegated authorities and the people of God who are walking in obedience in order to justify their own activities. But God is saying that they got into this mess because they first rejected him. And you're going to see that. When you go forth in perfect obedience and you're walking in perfect love and people reject you, don't ever take offense. Because it's not you they're rejecting, it's because they first rejected God. If you can get that revelation, I'm not saying it's pleasant to experience that, but if you can get that revelation, then you'll be able to maintain the walk of love through whatever you're confronted with. And we are going to be confronted. And that's why we need to be a people who are abiding in perfect love. He says that their hearts have become dull and they've lost the power of understanding. And I'll tell you, if you've lost the power of understanding the Spirit of God, then you are forced into leaning upon your own understanding, and the devil is just feeding you with lies and controlling you. And that's what it's coming down to. That's the spiritual reality behind this hour. Like I said in a few minutes ago, the leaven of righteousness is consuming those whose hearts are wholly given, and the leaven of unbelief and sin and darkness is consuming completely those who are maintaining that rebellion. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now that seems like a real simple instruction. But I'll tell you, that's a place where we could really be tested in. And, you know, I guess it's just part of maintaining a heart that's filled with an abundance of God's word. And so that when we speak, we're speaking out of that abundance, and then we're able to control that, because you know the devil's always trying to get you to speak an unwholesome word or compromise in some way the truth. So we need to be firm. And I really know that as we are walking in the fullness of the anointing that abides within us, that we will be discerning. We will know when there's a trap or something, and we can just speak and answer exactly the way the Holy Spirit wants us to answer in that case. That's very important. Tell my children that if they truly desire to know what my will is, they must immerse themselves in my word and know by faith that I shall make clear to them all those things which they need to know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this now, but you know, a lot of times, particularly in the early years, I remember, you know, we used to think that we needed to know this and know that and know this. Not necessarily. You know, we need to come to a place where we believe with all our heart, you know, as we're fellowshipping with God, that we know. We know that we know what we need to know in any given moment. And just by faith. And then if something needs to be known, then God will reveal that in the perfect time. I can tell you this right now. This is the way he showed it to me. If he revealed everything that was going to happen right now to the glorious church between now and the catch away, I think we'd all faint and maybe not get up. So we need to be a people who are walking from faith to faith and obedience to obedience. But we need to know that he's faithful. God is not trying to keep us in the dark. and he will reveal what we need to know. Never fear anything which is apart from me. Never fear the judgments and accusations of men. Never fear the schemes of the evil one. For in this last hour, truth shall have the spotlight to himself. And all those who are conformed to his perfect image shall ride on the coattails of his glory. And truly I say to you, all darkness shall be obliterated by the light. Again, you get a picture of the glorious church going forth in obedience, individually and corporately, and everything moving out in front of them for them to do the perfect will of God. I mean, we're not here doing this ourselves. I mean, Jesus is with us and will be with us. And those whose lying hearts have mocked and scorned me shall no longer be able to stand in the face of my reality. So again, we draw the picture of great power being released in the earth, the greatest power this earth has ever seen. You know, this is the type of thing you're not going to read on the front page of a Christian journal or magazine. We're talking about the reality of God's plan for the church. And I remember, I always remember this when I think of this. I remember Bill did a series on the minor prophets a few years ago. And in that, he started to touch on Zion in every prophet. And if you put those all together, which he did, then you can see what God had planned all along. And that's the revelation we need to have. Because this is no small thing. All these different things we've had to deal with up until now, various religious spirits and the organization of man, this stuff is going to be blown away by Jesus Christ and those who are with him. It's the way it is. Because he's Lord. One is either faithful to me or to themselves. There is no middle ground. Another absolute statement of our heart condition. In any given situation, we are either faithful to the plan of God, to the will of God, or to ourselves. Now, you know, this could be very subtle at times. I mean, again, you know, back, well, maybe not that long ago, you know, you come into a certain situation and you're faithful to God clearly in this and this and this and this, but there's the odd thing that, you know, there's just fear or whatever, and the fear will cause us to be faithful to ourselves and our own agenda. I'm not talking about things that we're always aware of here. I'm talking about things that can pretty well only be worked out when you enter into the presence of God and when you immerse yourself in his word. By his power, we come out of this. If we could come out of this in our own power, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. If we could be free from the spirit of independence on our own, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But the fact is, he did. And so we need to again, be faithful to spend time with him. And that's really where divine faithfulness is developed, because he is faithful. And that's where we get our faithfulness from. Oh, this is a good one. I like this one. As far as Satan is concerned, my remnant church is a walking time bomb. Now, see, he has that all-consuming fear, because God makes it clear, and these words of the prophets are going forth and going forth. And he knows that there is an explosion of power coming. And the thing he fears the most, which is the Holy Spirit. I mean, the same Spirit that tossed them out of heaven, that couldn't have been a pleasant ride, I wouldn't think. And he knows, he sees that Spirit now being poured forth and being moving unlimited in places where he'd been limited before. And so Satan sees us as a walking time bomb. You know, you can imagine being in a room where there's a time bomb, you don't know when it's going to go off. Yes. Yes, and that's the absolute, that word really blessed me when God gave it to me, because it really painted an image in my picture that no matter what the devil is trying now, and no matter what seems like a delay, although I don't really believe we're in the days where we are concerning ourselves with a delay, because we know, the people who have been faithful to God know that he is unfolding things perfectly, not doing anything too soon, not doing anything too late, but unfolding things perfectly. And I'll tell you, the glorious church is going to explode, and we're going to see a wondrous thing. Obedience demands action. I remember when I used to go out, and pray, and God began to bring me out into his presence. You know, I'd walk miles and miles every day, and I would be out there, and I don't know how many times this happened, a lot. I would get a revelation. It was a burning revelation. You know, it could be a simple command of obedience or Maybe something more detailed. You know, revelation. You know it's God, and you can hardly wait to get in and put it to action. But if you don't put it into action, what happens is the devil just starts gnawing away at you, and all of a sudden that idea that was clearly from God doesn't seem like such a good idea. Well, maybe something is wrong here. Nah. Boy, obedience demands action, and the sooner the better. Once you get, and I mean, I'm talking about the unction of the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about when you clearly have a revelation from God and the Holy Spirit's prompting you, act. Because otherwise the strength of that revelation will dissipate until you have to come all the way back again and get it again and do it. Some of the things I went through. Oh, I don't know how many times I went around the mountain on some of those things, but let me put it this way. There was a rut in the dirt. Because of the magnitude of the work that I have called my handmaidens and bondservants to in this last hour, they must experience a fresh application of discipline or pressure. Now, that really explains or begins to explain some of the things we've gone through over the years. You know, we have some great and glorious words come through and a season of this, a season of that, and the next thing you know, bang, we're stuck right into a season of pressure from outside things and so on. And this is what God said about that. He says, for their former capacity, for my power is not sufficient to meet the need of the present situation. And their past experiences, and he's talking about righteous experiences, are inadequate to supply the current demand. See, he's ever expanding the vision. He's ever enlarging our hearts because he knows exactly what he wants to accomplish in this final hour. It's great. It's a great and glorious thing. Words do not describe what is going to happen. So this is why he operates in that way. He's simply acclimatizing us to himself and preparing our hearts to receive everything that he has for us and to bear maximum fruit for the kingdom. That's extremely important. We all would have liked it to happen a little sooner, but boy, now that the years have gone by, I have seen his wisdom, and I'm still seeing it, and I would never question his timing, ever. I used to get in trouble when I'd think I was ready for a certain thing, because then God would just nicely and calmly show me over the next 3 or 4 months exactly why I wasn't ready for that. That was painful. So I stopped doing that. I said, I'll be ready when you tell me I'm ready, Father. That should go for all of us. This is precisely why I deal and work with my children endlessly to move them from faith to faith in order that the multitudes, remember blessed to be a blessing? One of the very first signatures of the Abrahamic covenant. In order that the multitudes might experience the resurrected Christ in them and thus come to see the power that is able to deliver them from death. I mean, you know, I guess that's the real danger of selfishness is we get our eyes on ourselves and we forget that we have been so blessed of God sometimes, but we're not here to live for ourselves. You know, and we are so blessed, but we're also here to be a blessing to those who God will bring across our path, and that's important. And you know, I mean, maybe it's a good thing to get to see what's really going on because out there at times, because there are many, many sheep that are wandering around lost right now, but they're about to get some clear direction, you know, from God, and they're going to experience the resurrected Christ in those who are faithful to God. Another one along the same lines. Let it be understood that if anyone is faithful and obedient, in other words, seeking to be faithful and obedient every day, they shall not be spared from exceedingly great pressure, and they shall not have a comfortable day every day. See, some of these words are pretty dear to my heart, because when I started out, I sought a comfortable day every day. Yeah. And then I figured, well, now I'm with God, I'm really going to have a comfortable day every day. And there are great times of blessing and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about comfort we try to get ourselves. And seasons of times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. But there are times, and you can't explain what's going on, but you're picking up things. Marsh, you mentioned this on Sunday, about your spirit goes out and picks out things. Boy, when you are walking or seeking to walk with pinpoint accuracy, you will pick that up all right. And whatever they're going through, it's going to be like on you. You're going like, what's going on here? And if there's any degree of selfishness in that, in ourselves, we start getting our eyes on ourselves and think, well, what did I do wrong? I mean,
boy, it's been a long lesson for me on that, you know? Because, you know, when I started out, I sought the easy way. Well, I thought what the easy way was easy, but it wasn't. It was the hard way. But anyway, I have another word on that later. Actually, it'll be up here soon. We're not going to be spared from exceedingly great pressure at times. But boy, I'll tell you, when the Christian comes into that place of right relationship with God, it's when you come into those times, instead of the thing overwhelming you, it's almost like a split-screen TV. You understand that what you're bearing is outside yourself, and you can walk in love and see the power of that thing broken in that situation. But God had a deep work to do in me, because the first sign of trouble or anything, I'm going, oh God, what's wrong, what's wrong? Fear. It's no good. We need to walk in love. Actually, I'll read that right now because we're here. Here we are. Without perfect obedience, there will not be the power necessary to bring intercession to completion. Now, that's any form of intercession, whether you're praying for your children or praying for somebody else in the church, whatever. Without perfect obedience, the power's not there, and you will be overwhelmed by what's going on. If sin, should it arise, is not confessed and thus removed by the blood of the Lamb, then my children will not have a clear conscience before me. This is a great scheme of the enemy to keep people out of that continual love walk. And if we're going to be moved off the path of love every time we get a bad feeling, then we're really not going to be very effective in bearing others' burdens and standing in the gap on their behalf. So they will not have a clear conscience before me, and thus in their shamefacedness, they will in no way have the confidence before me and in me to believe that which they are called to believe. See, these are the types of schemes that the devil has been operating in the church, and they're about to be blown away. I mean, do people really want to love God with all their heart and love one another with all their heart? Or are they going to continue to be overcome by selfishness? The quality of true intercession and true prayer cannot exceed the quality of the relationship to me or with me of the one who is praying. Well, that's clear. Again, you know, I guess if we could just all get this in a moment's time, it would be that if we're in right relationship with God, it kicks everything off. Everything then becomes a spontaneous manifestation of His love. And we talk about the gifts of the Spirit and everything else that we have, you know, given to us as far as the ministry goes. Very, very important. Because quite simply, the people who don't come into fellowship with Him won't know Him in this last hour. And if they won't know Him, they won't recognize Him. And if they don't recognize Him, they won't understand what He's doing. And if they don't understand what He's doing, they're going to be in the wrong place, in darkness. Here's another one. It's so funny when I get these words, because, you know, when I got them, they were like a bolt of lightning to me. And now they just make perfect sense, but it was the years between when He gave them and when He worked it out. Spiritual character is not built by taking the easy road. In other words, if we're always seeking to take the easy road, then God is going to have to just wait and wait and wait till we finally come to the end of ourselves, and then He brings us back to that place of obedience. Yeah. Yes, we know that one. It is time for all those who truly love me to take up their cross and thus deny themselves. Again, it comes down to a place of self-denial or God-denial. I mean, are you going to deny the Holy Spirit, or are you going to deny yourself? That's what it comes down to. And now, you know, what God is doing, He's raising up a people who are going to walk in the power of the cross. I mean, people have different ideas of what that means, you know, the cross and so on and so forth. And they don't want to be found running from that, because there's great power in the cross. And it's a catalyst to the life of resurrection and the life of the fullness of our authority in Christ. You don't get there any other way. We've seen the mess that certain things that have happened in the past, where people are seeking after the gifts, seeking for the power, seeking to be seen, whatever the motivations are there. And of course, there's been a glimpse of God's power in the past, because He will honor His word. And, you know, even if there's fools operating in delegated authority, He's not going to leave the sheep in harm's way. And so there has been a manifestation. But I'll tell you, in this hour, we're going to see the power of God flow unlimited in the midst of his people. And, you know, that's not just for different things like healing. It's certainly that. But really, you know what it is? It really comes down to is the exposure or of his character, of his person. And again, that is so important. If people don't know God, they're going to know the devil and his imitation. He said, it is time for faith and obedience to once again be established as the foremost priority of the lives of all my children. Warn my people, for indeed the curtain is about to close. And, you know, as we establish faith and obedience as the foremost priority in our lives, that's just a natural manifestation of our time with God, seeking the face of God first. Because if you don't seek the face of God first, you're not going to desire to walk in faith and obedience. It'll be fear and disobedience. And we just keep going on. There are many of my children who, because they have retained a strong grip on things which are apart from me, shall have those things which they cherish literally ripped from their tightened fingers. We're talking about idolatry now. And idolatry, as we know, can be blatant or it can be very, very subtle. But it's that heart motivation, that unrighteous motivation towards God will result in idolatry. But a righteous motivation towards God will result in being free from that. Know that time and time again I have confronted them, that's those who are holding on to things, with their need to let go of those things which are keeping them apart from me. There's the great tragedy of idolatry, that it keeps people apart from God. But they persisted in their affections towards their idols, and thus they shall be overtaken in their covetousness. This is a great time now of overtaking. The people who are obedient to God are going to be overtaken by the blessings of God and by the very presence of God himself. But the people who have held the things apart from God, I'm talking about the church now, are going to be overtaken by their own lusts and desires for things apart from God. This is just sowing and reaping. And see, God is faithful. I mean, he has consistently brought these things to people's attention. And again, I'll say this, the people who are truly seeking first the kingdom, they're willingly letting go of things because they love God and they don't want anything to keep them apart from him. You know, that's really what it comes down to. We have a great work to do in the church, but that job will be done, and then we have eternity ahead of us. And the number one thing is always just to know God, to know his heart, to know his ways, and to love him with all our heart. One's relationship with me shall determine the quality of their relationship with all those who cross their path. To the degree that one walks in selfishness, disobedience through fear, towards me, to that degree they shall walk in selfishness, or devoid of love, towards all those who cross their path. Again, very simple. You know, when we walk in love, when we come to that place of abiding in love, we're going to do and say exactly what God wants us to do and say. Now, that's not always going to have people come up and pat us on the back. But we're going to be doing our best for them. And it's going to expose any selfishness or disobedience in them. And we're going to see that exponentially in this hour. And you're going to see some rampant emotionalism. I think we've all had glimpses of that in the past. But the main thing is we are to be vessels of righteousness. And the force of righteousness is a great thing. You know, it will shut the mouths of the unrighteous. It will stop the hand of the violent. It will do many things. We saw that in Jesus' ministry. And we'll see that to a great degree in this last hour. I just, again, you know, it's when you touch on these things, I use the expression the force of righteousness. Well, there's the force of wisdom. These are all forces. They will cause things to happen in this last hour. And I'll tell you, God is preparing us for that. And if we can just maintain that vision of the glorious church and the vision that God, well, that Jesus is Lord, and what that means and what that will mean, you're going to see some things. I mean, religious activity is such a futile thing. I mean, it absolutely profits nothing, you know. Whereas, the Holy Spirit and sowing to the Spirit are going to profit great things in this last hour for an earth or for a world that's immersed in deep darkness. All ground for fear is rooted in the concern of self losing or being denied something it seeks. Boy, I mean, that's why, you know, God calls us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Seek first the kingdom, and then you see our desires come in line with his desires. I mean, this is all absolute truth. And the beauty of it is God's been working this out in our lives for years and years and years. But there's coming a day we're going to walk in this to a degree we never even thought possible, this side of heaven. And so he's preparing us. But these are the truths of the truth of this fear. Fear is foolishness. Because, you know, fear is always rooted like in an open door of seeking after something for yourself. If you seek wholly after God's will for your life, then that fear will just continually be moved right out, that ground of fear. And that's freedom. This is what we've been talking about, freedom. You know, I mean, we talked about everything else, the power and everything, but to me, the greatest thing is just going to be that perfect liberty to carry out God's will in perfect obedience, no matter what happens. I mean, that's what it's all about right there, and that's where God is taking those who are faithful. The main and essential element of guarding one's heart with all diligence is quality fellowship with God. You know, we try to guard our heart with all diligence. We know some things are obvious, but really, that comes from a daily fellowship with God. You know, people would make it a lot easier on themselves in many cases if they would just forsake their fear and enter that place of God with God. You know, the devil, that's what he works at the most, is to keep people out of close relationship. And if he can get people into a place of sin, that place where their conscience isn't clear, then it literally, at some point, takes an act of faith to come into the inner chamber. And that's what the devil's counting on, that he can keep people out of that. But that's not what God wants. You know, he said that, come boldly to me. Come boldly to my throne. And it's very important for us to do that. Christians shouldn't be running from God when they sin. They should be running to him. Refusal to believe becomes, in a short time, active opposition. Now, I just think of Korah here and that whole situation. And if Christians refuse to believe and to act on what God has revealed to them, in a short time then, they'll be back on their own understanding, their own agenda, and it becomes active opposition to the will of God. This is really, you know, why there's going to be a civil war. And really, the Bible tells us that the flesh is at enmity to the will of God. I mean, it is. You can't combine the two. So if we don't act on the revelation God's given us and willfully rebel against that, then in not too long a time, we're going to be found in active opposition towards the will of God. And usually what that means is people are going to speak against the people who are actually walking in God's will. You know, these are kind of the mechanics of why the things happen. The people who will rebel against God in this last hour are people who believe they're in his will, but they're not. And again, I've said this time and time again, to me, that's the greatest deception on this planet, is for a born-again person to believe they're in the center of God's will, but they're not. Who are they going to listen to? Certainly not the Holy Spirit. Absolute faith works through an absolute or perfect love. This is what we're all aiming for, that absolute faith. You know, I have to mention this here because one of the things that God showed me in the time that I spent with him was that in the last hour, the gift of faith would powerfully work in the midst of his people. And I remember I came out of that same thing back in the early 80s where people were saying, you know, one gift here, and they were dispensing them just as, not as the Spirit wills, as, you know, what they could see with their own eyes. But we know that's not the case. And so in this last hour, there's no reason for that gift not to work exponentially in the midst of God's people. What a wonderful gift that is. You have that gift working, you don't have any problems. The only one that's got problems is the devil. Perfect fellowship with me shall lead to perfect fellowship in every other relationship. Now again, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to get along with you. What it means is you're going to be a perfect representative of God in that situation. And where we talk about people whose hearts are wholly given, then yes, that is going to lead to the right relationship on every level in the true church. That's almost been something that looks like somewhat of a myth in the past. Why? Because people had their own agendas, they're always trying to get their own way. And so, I mean, it's a losing cause, a losing battle. You're never going to have true unity apart from being agreed with others. And the only way you're truly going to be agreed with others is to have a revelation of God's will. I mean, God has made this so simple. But the thing that, again, throws people off is it's absolute. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area for people to wander around in with their own thinking to serve themselves. Good question that God asked one time. He said, what kind of gospel is being, quote unquote, is being preached that keeps many of my children from even desiring to be freed from their bondage? Now there is what happens when death is put forth in the pulpit. It keeps people in bondage. It keeps people in a place where they don't even desire to be free. And that is rampant in the church now. That's about to end. And that is a deadly thing because, you know, the attacks will become greater in this last hour. And people must be under that hedge of protection in the covenant with God and be walking in obedience. And they'll rise above it easily in just the same way the people of Israel did who had the blood on the doorposts in Egypt. Very bold examples. I mean, their pattern's all right, but that's a very bold example. And we'll see that come to fruition this hour. There is no faith in disobedience. Simple, but true. I'm going to talk about that at conference more, about the kingdom cycle of faith and obedience and so on. But there is no faith in disobedience. So if people are outside the will of God and they're thinking they're walking in faith, they're not. And see, these are all places that the devil loves to get the people of God in, because he can control them there. Again, if they think they're at the center of God's will, and they think they're operating in faith, but they're not, he's just setting them up. Somewhere down the road, he's going to come in, and unless they repent, they're not going to have the faith to overcome in that time. They will be overcome. And, you know, this is the end of the age. I mean, this is the final hour, and things are getting down to the nitty-gritty. And so we need to understand these things. We have the perfect protection of God. We have the covenant of God, but we will need to walk in the fullness of that covenant, and that covers every aspect of life and ministry. You shall be readily able to discern, again, he's talking now about the glorious church, all those words which are directed towards you, whether they are of Satan or whether they are of me. For the hearts of all men are either for me or against me, and they shall surely speak out of that desire which controls their heart. It is only a simple and absolute faith which shall cause my servants, or my true sons and daughters, to transcend the massive inculcations of doctrine found within my church. And it is only through one's giving of their whole heart that shall allow an absolute faith to be developed continually within them. I'm not going to go into that right now. But there are massive, I'm not just talking about error or false doctrine, but there are doctrines on doctrines in the church. It's all a product of the mind of the flesh. And we need to rise above that, not get caught up in that. You know, we are called as the Third Day Church to preach the gospel of the kingdom in its fullness. That's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. This is good, especially in this season. As my blessings continue to manifest themselves superabundantly in your lives and ministries, you must defiantly take your stand against the attempt of the evil one through the flesh to deceive you into setting your heart on the increase rather than on the further establishment of my kingdom. This defiant stand against the flesh is in no way to be carried out in an ascetic spirit, in other words, not in our own power, but rather under the direct guidance of my spirit. And, you know, he's saying we must defiantly take that stand, because it really is, especially when you've been in a time of warfare and so on, and blessing comes, the times of refreshing come, you know, the whole thing is really kind of to put our feet up for a while. I mean, I'm sure we keep doing certain things. But he's saying, no, defiantly take a stand against that, and then look for the next step in obedience, As a matter of fact, there's another word he gave me. He said that in the last hour, he said, as this thing begins to unfold, he said, my people must just take the next step in obedience. That's the way they can, because we're going to be in awe of what's going on if we don't. And, you know, we'll see what's happening, but we don't want to get caught up in that, in anything like that. That's the way to keep the law of divine increase just working continually. Mighty men, those in whom there is no ground for fear. And we look at the examples of the mighty men and women in the Bible, and really, they faced tremendous odds every time. And they just obeyed anyways. Why? Because there was no fear in them. And that's the way we'll be. You know, when the best way to confront fear, if it starts to rise up, is just to obey God and keep on going through. And just like that story I told you about the open heart surgery, God can deal with it just like that. Fleshly activity is satanic activity. Ooh. In other words, if people are sowing to the flesh, the devil's going to use that. But when we sow to the Spirit, then God can use that and bear maximum results. True faithfulness disregards all of its circumstances and its freedom of choice to hear what God has to say and do what God wants done. That's what faithfulness is. Yeah, we have a freedom of choice, but we're always going to make the choice to obey God. In serving you shall lead, and in leading you shall serve. That's good. Actually, a little story on that, just as I close here. When I got that, you know, God gave me that word, and I thought, wow. I said, yeah, because my old Latin teacher from high school lived right in the same neighborhood I lived in. So I thought, you know, I'm just gonna ask her, you know, how to translate that Latin, and because that's what Latin, that's what it's like, you know. So she did, you know. So in Latin, it sounds something like "In serviis duces." No, sorry. Oh, in serviendo duques, in duques serviendo. And it's just kind of neat because, you know, I kind of grew up in an environment where they had all these, some of the Scottish emblems and different emblems, and they had these real neat sayings. But anyway, that was a good one. And, you know, we always remember that if we will just consecrate ourselves to serving God, then the leadership comes out of that. When people seek to lead, they seek to control. But when people seek to serve, then their leadership will be in righteousness. And it will be true. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this message tonight. And we just thank you, Lord, that you just take these words and expand them in our hearts and continue to enlarge our hearts, expand our vision of the glorious church. And we just praise you, Father, that you're preparing each and every one of us perfectly in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.